This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio on 1160 AM, 103.1 FM WMET, the Guadalupe Radio Network. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek, digital editor for the Archdiocese of Baltimore and the Catholic Review. This fall, 12 new seminarians were accepted to begin their studies as priests for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Ranging in age from 18 to 34, they come from diverse backgrounds and include three international candidates. In our first segment, we speak with Father Stephen Roth, Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of Baltimore, about how the new men were selected and how they are being prepared for the priesthood. Later in the show, we will speak with Nathan Terska, one of the new seminarians, and also with Ben Allersler, a seminarian who is now in his second year of formation. First up is Father Roth.
Father Roth, thanks for being here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
It's been such a difficult year for everyone with the pandemic. Yet despite all that, the Archdiocese of Baltimore still has a class of 12 men who have just started their seminary studies to become priests for the Archdiocese, which I think brings the total number of men preparing for the priesthood in our Archdiocese to 52. Could you tell us a little bit about who these new guys are and what kind of impact the pandemic has had?
Sure. I think the most common phrase that we've been hearing during this pandemic is it's an unprecedented time, and that's for sure. Not just in a secular sense, but for our church as well. A lot of the different events and programs that we were trying to run as a vocation office were obviously canceled because of COVID. And so it made it quite complicated. But we are so blessed as an archdiocese that, as you mentioned, we have 12 men that I really think because of their strong faith and dedication to the church, they held strong during the pandemic and still proceeded with the application process and have stepped forward for formation. The 12 men that are studying for the Archdiocese in this new class really range in a variety of backgrounds and even ages. We have some that are coming in right out of high school, others who have had careers, while others have gone to college and now applied. It's really interesting. There isn't any, I guess, rhyme or reason as to who is applying, but this diversity has really blessed us in the current year.
Could you tell us some of the careers the older guys are coming from?
Sure. So one in particular that I think is really most notable is a young man who had graduated from an Ivy League school, was extremely accomplished, and was a vice president of a local investment firm, left it all to enter seminary. What I think is most remarkable about that is that everyone understands that as you enter a formation program, there's no guarantee that you will be ordained a priest. It's a process of discernment both on the part of the individual as well as the church. And so to leave, you know, a very successful career without any guarantee that the Lord is actually calling him to be a priest, to me is quite a gamble. But so impressively, he said yes and stepped forward and really is trusting the Lord that regardless of whether he's calling him to be a priest, he knows that this formation program will help him to be not only a better man, but a better follower of Jesus. And so that's just one of the many examples of guys that are really taking quite a leap of faith, but are doing so because I think they also have become aware through our conversations that, you know, the old stigma of, oh, wow, if I enter seminary and it's not for me and I leave, is there going to be some sort of shame? And that really isn't the case. I think that anyone that steps forward and wants to enter into formation and gives of themselves totally, it's just such an impressive expression of their faith and character that we've had many guys who have left seminary over the course of the years and now are great husbands and fathers. And so the church is equally blessed in that sense as well.
How many inquiries did you have this year of guys who were interested in pursuing the priesthood?
Roughly, I would say we had about 50, and that's, I think, relatively common. And the inquiries really range from just really a question about priesthood and not really a serious inquiry to men that have discerned for a while and now are taking this next step. But because of our very rigorous and robust application process, that's why we have such a small percentage of those who are accepted, because we want to make sure that we're really getting the best and the brightest.
What kind of screening do you do?
So it's a pretty lengthy process. Once a student or a young man expresses interest, he'll meet with me. Unfortunately, now it's been through Zoom, but we'll speak several times. And if together we think that this is a good idea, I give him an application. The application includes just the general biographical information, but he also needs to write an autobiography, an essay on priesthood. We also do a background check. He submits medical records, academic records, and then the biggest component is it's a two-day psychological evaluation conducted by three different psychologists. Once all of that information is assembled, we sit down with a screening committee, which is made up of both clergy and lay people across the archdiocese, and then they submit their remarks and comments to the archbishop, and the archbishop then makes a decision. It's a lengthy, thorough process, but what we have great pride in is that I think not only does it assure us that we're getting good candidates, but it also, I think, assures the candidate of the caliber of seminarians that he will be interacting with. Having gone through the process himself, he then knows that this is not just some sort of an open-door policy. Some people think because we have a pre-shortage that we just allow anyone into our seminaries, and that really could not be further from the truth.
And you have some international candidates this year. Could you tell us about them?
Sure. In particular, we have two men who are coming over from Cameroon and one from Vietnam. Unfortunately, our two students from Cameroon are still in Cameroon because of the different restrictions and complications because of COVID and immigration. But the one student that we have been able to bring over from Vietnam is already actively engaged in studying English and really trying to become as enculturated as possible into the archdiocese.
How did the international students get connected with the archdiocese? What was their interest in studying for the Archdiocese of Baltimore?
I think that they appreciated the diversity of the archdiocese and wanted to be part of that. And plus, they were referred by priests of the archdiocese that had connections back in Cameroon and Vietnam. And so they were eager, in a sense, to see themselves as missionaries, to come to a new country and spread the gospel in light of their particular cultural background.
I believe there was also a Jesuit connection with one of them as well. Could you tell us about that?
Sure. So Loyola University has a fantastic program run by one of their Jesuit priests, where Vietnam has several seminarians that are not sponsored by a particular diocese because of the financial restrictions and constraints that they have. And so this Jesuit program does an extreme process of vetting of these men, and then they try to connect them with dioceses in the United States. And so to me, it's been one of the most impressive programs that I'm aware of, where these individuals are screened thoroughly before they're even presented to us, which is a big help. But we still continue our vetting process as well. But we've been extremely pleased with the candidates. This is our second candidate that we've accepted, and they've just had great success in seminary formation thus far.
What are the seminaries where the new men are studying, and how do they receive their placements there?
So they're studying either at John Paul II in Washington, Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, or St. Mary's in Roland Park. And so if a man is entering and hasn't completed a college degree, he automatically goes to John Paul II. That's the only undergraduate seminary that we're using at the time. If he already is coming in with some college work, we then either send to St. Mary's in Roland Park or Mount St. Mary's, and that's a decision made by the archbishop. It's always a tough call because as an archdiocese, we're blessed to have two fantastic seminaries, and so it's hard to pick between one or the other. But generally what we're trying to do is to send an equal number of seminarians to the Mount as well as to St. Mary's.
And those two seminaries are the first and second in the nation, so there's a lot of pride there for the archdiocese.
Absolutely.
How can Catholics in the pew support seminarians?
I think the first thing I would suggest is prayer, to really pray with some purpose and really asking the Lord to give them some direction as to what the Lord is asking them to do and encouraging vocations. And certainly prayer is important to support both the current priests that we have who are fantastic, but also the seminarians who will be future priests. But within that prayer, I would encourage them to ask the Lord, who else is he calling? I don't think it's a question of if the Lord is calling. The question really is, who is he calling? And because of the many complications and distractions that exist in our culture, a lot of times it's hard for men to hear that the Lord is actually calling them. And so it's so dependent on a personal invitation. And so I hope that through that prayer, these individuals will realize, wow, maybe my son or my grandson or a neighbor or a coworker or a friend is being called, and then to make that personal invitation. And I always try to tell people that don't be afraid if your invitation falls on what appears to be deaf ears. A lot of times invitations, or at least that initial invitation, is not met with open arms or a welcome. But so many of our guys talk about that it is that initial invitation that has made such a difference that they had never even really thought or considered it before. And that invitation opened the door for them to at least think about it. And for some, it's taken months. For others, it's been years. But they eventually come around and realize, well, maybe the Lord is really calling me. And it was because of that initial invitation that they are now considering that vocation.
Well, Father Stephen Roth, Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of Baltimore, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
George, great to be with you.
We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll speak with Nathan Turska, one of the 12 new seminarians, and also with Ben Allersler, who is now in his second year of formation. I'm George Matusek, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese's efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
News from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world from the Catholic Review. Clergy and some lay faithful gathered September 14th at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Baltimore to participate in the Chrism Mass, at which Archbishop William Lowry blessed sacramental oils used in parishes and where priests of the diocese traditionally renewed their promises. The Chrism Mass, usually celebrated the Monday of Holy Week, was eventually celebrated on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, still with limits on attendance and social distancing. About 250 attended, all wearing face coverings. Even the preparation and distribution of the holy oils was different from prior years. Priests or parish representatives picked up quantities they had pre-ordered of the Holy Chrism and the blessed oils on the way out of the cathedral. In his September 16th weekly general audience at the Vatican, Pope Francis said human beings must change their relationship with nature and view it not as an object for unscrupulous use and abuse, but as a gift they are charged by God to care for and protect. Exploiting creation is a sin, the Pope said. From the virtual newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is Christopher Gunty.
You are listening to Catholic Review Radio on 1160 AM and 103.1 FM WMBT, the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matusek. We're talking about priestly formation in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. In this segment, we introduce you to Nathan Turska, one of 12 new seminarians recently accepted to begin studies for the priesthood in the Archdiocese. We also speak with Ben Allersler, who is now in his second year of formation. Here's our conversation with Nathan, who is studying at St. John Paul II Seminary in Washington, D.C.
Nathan, thanks for being here on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up and where you went to school?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Parkersburg, Maryland. I was raised Protestant, actually. Grew up in a public school all my life and had a conversion to the Catholic faith. In 2018, I was confirmed at St. Mary's in Barnesville, Maryland. I felt a draw towards another church closer by my house, St. Ignatius in Urbana. At that parish is where my vocation started.
And you said you were raised in another denomination. What denomination was it, and how did you come into the Catholic Church?
So I was raised Lutheran. My parents are both Lutheran. My older brother and older sister were also raised Lutheran. I'd say probably my early years in high school is when I started to kind of, I hate the word lose your faith, because I don't think anybody can truly lose their faith, but I fell away from the practices of living a Christian, or a morally Christian life. And it wasn't until about my senior year when I actually, if they don't flirt to convert, but I met a girl, and her family was all Catholic, and invited me to Mass one day, and took a couple months. I kept going to Mass with them, but I felt an invitation to join the Catholic faith. To me, it's a miracle. I remember sitting in Mass one day. I was by myself. I was going through some hard things in life, and through the pain and the anguish, and truly making myself lower so that Christ can be more elevated in my life. For me to humble myself, I truly heard Christ tell me in these exact words. He said, "Nathan, become Catholic." And at that point, I couldn't doubt that it was God, and I listened, and I am thankful that I did listen.
What influence did your parish, your Catholic parish, have on you and your pastor there in Frederick County?
Father Michael Jindrick is the pastor at St. Ignatius. He became my first official spiritual director. Father Mike has a very loving and serving personality. My confirmation saint was St. Francis. I chose him because I just adored the life and the charisms of the Franciscans. Very caring, self-giving, that appealed to me. And Father Mike resembled that way of life pretty accurately. And kind of grew a friendship out of that, spiritual friendship. I think, yeah, just seeing the joy that he brings to other people through his priesthood, watching Jesus work through him, is a very beautiful, thought-provoking invitation to the possibility of, you know, the life as a priest myself.
How did you hear the call to the priesthood?
It definitely happened after my conversion. I'd say the highlighted moments that led to me ultimately saying yes to Christ, that invitation to come to seminary, I believe revolves around, I'm going to say, three different things. One is I was lucky enough to be able to go to SEEK in 2019, which is a conference sponsored by Focus. All of the speakers there are well-renowned apologists. I think seeing the true devotion to Christ there led and enhanced that vision of being Christ's disciple, really, and that there's something unique to the priesthood that isn't in any other vocation in life. Secondly, a friend of mine, well, several friends of mine, pointed out to me that they could see myself in the line of work as some sort of religious leader. I did a couple talks for some teens at a parish, for my friend's parish. The experience there and the enthusiasm that I felt through that, again, started, the gear started turning and thinking, what if this could be a life that I could be good at? And those aren't the proper words that you should be thinking as a priest just yet, but those were my initial thoughts. I think lastly, what it came down to was really just a divine invitation from God. I think just the amount of love that I felt from God really just gave me the conviction. I'm like, I don't really know how I can better serve you without being a priest. Remember, those exact words came to my mind on Good Friday when I was watching The Passion. Seeing the love Christ poured out for us really, it got me going. It got me enthusiastic about the life as a priest. And after that, a friend, seminarian of mine, we've been talking back and forth throughout my, you know, discernment. And I remember one day I was really struggling with the, I'd say, the commitment of applying for seminary. I was also at that time getting ready to apply for nursing school. So there were some big decisions that I had to make in my life. And the words that really got me going and officially encouraged me to grab the phone and call my vocations director to tell him that I'm applying is he told me, he said, "Nathan, I think Jesus is calling you to just jump in."
Well, Nathan Turska, thank you so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
No, thank you.
Ben Auersler, a graduate of Mount St. Joseph High School in Baltimore, who grew up at St. John the Evangelist Parish in Severna Park, is now in his second year of formation at St. John Paul II Seminary in Washington. Here's our interview with Ben.
Ben, thanks so much for being here on the show.
Absolutely. It's a great pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
In our last segment, we spoke with a seminarian who is just beginning his journey in the seminary, but you've been in the seminary for a year now, I think. Could you tell our audience where you're studying and what your experience of seminary life has been like so far?
Absolutely, yeah. So I am down at St. John Paul II Seminary in Washington, D.C., studying at Catholic University, so I'm taking courses there, but living at the seminary, which is right off campus. And it's been a great joy. I actually did my freshman year at Catholic U. I was a regular student down there studying business. And then I switched over and then transferred over to the seminary after that. And so I just finished my first year. And it's been an incredible journey so far. It's also been one of, I think, great joys, but also great difficulties as well. And part of that has been kind of the phrase that kind of keeps coming to me when I think and kind of reflect back on it is, kind of a blessed but arduous road. And it's blessed because of the great, I think, joys of seminary life that I've seen. I mean, the biggest one really is the great joy that comes from living in seminary life. And that's kind of really shocked me, seeing how these young men, I'm with about 50 other young men, and a wide array of life experiences, but there's a common kind of theme that unites us, and that's our love for Christ. And so everything we do is really centered on Christ, whether it be prayer, activities, talks, even our mealtime discussions, everything is really centered on trying to find Christ. There's a surprising and kind of shocking joy in the house that results from that. It's not a superficial joy, but it's really a deep, abiding joy that kind of, it just directs all of our focus to Christ, and it evokes a kind of deeper desire in each one of us to continue giving our lives to discerning whether or not Christ is calling us to be his priest on his hands and feet in the world. But also on the other side of that, one of the great struggles, I think, for me personally during my first year was the kind of difficulties of, I think, comparison. It's just there's many, many guys that are so tremendously talented. And so there can be sometimes a real difficulty of feelings of unworthiness, I think, for being called to the priesthood and asking, questioning perhaps the own validity of one's call and if Christ or how Christ could even be calling me to the priesthood. He really does know me better than I know myself, and that he is still calling me even with all my faults and unworthiness and all that. And so one of the big struggles for me was just really simply just kind of believing in that kind of radical beloved sonship that Christ and God the Father, that's who I am. That's my identity first and foremost. And so kind of the journey of the first year has been really, really great of almost in a fundamental sense, essential sense of truly believing in God's unconditional love. That's not whatever I do that gives me my worth, but first and foremost, it's my identity as his beloved son.
How has your expectation of what seminary life was going to be like? How did that compare to what the reality of seminary was like?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there can be a tendency to think, especially as new guys coming in, that you're going to almost in a sense grow faster than you think you are. And I think what I mean by that is the expectation that you're going to run, do all these kind of like marathons, that kind of thing. You're going to wake up and do like 5 holy hours a day, do all this kind of like different preaching stuff or different service, and things are just going to all fall into place. Now you have your own plan of what you think God is calling you to. And I think there's a great humility, but there's also a great freedom in recognizing that when those things don't happen, that it's not because God doesn't love you. It's not because he doesn't want great things from you, but that's just not where he's calling you right now. And sometimes I think in seminary, we think that we have a lot more, at least in my case, especially that I think I have a lot more of my myself and figured out that I know that I think I have. So kind of in the almost in the aspect of I think that I'm further along than I actually am. And so just kind of the call back to just fundamental relationship with Christ, of Christ calling me to, I think really in a sense of first year, of calling me to just spend more time with him and to be his friend in that way. So especially during a lot of my holy hours of the first year, it can be really difficult for, you know, first year guys coming in and spending that hour every day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But it's something that's really changed my life, of viewing the priesthood merely as one of, like, I'm going to go do these great things, to, wow, God is calling me to something even greater than just going and doing things, but to being with him and being his friend for an hour every day where I get to just talk to him, converse with him. And it's not what I expected going in, but it's been a remarkable grace that I can't imagine my life without now.
Well, Ben Auersler, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Absolutely. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matusek. Thanks for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.